Hello, everyone. Welcome to our fall quarterly community safety meeting. My name is Megan Drake. I'm the new crime prevention officer here at the River Forest Police Department. I'm taking over for Sergeant Ben Ransom, who was just promoted. I'm happy to bring you this meeting live on Zoom. Published slides and video recording of the meeting will be available after the live presentation. First, we're going to begin by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Before we get started with tonight's presentations, we'll have a word from our Chief of Police, Jim O'Shea.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to see actually some people out in the audience, a live audience this evening. We're glad to see that, and also those that are on Zoom. As Officer Drake mentioned, you'll be able to review the video recorded section, which we put up on the Village website, usually a few days after the meetings are presented. So just to kind of go through our agenda for this evening, we're going to start off with the outreach coordinator from Community and Economic Development Association of Cook County, also known as CEDA, and that's going to be Rodolfo Tejeda. Thank you. Yes. And also, we're going to have Age UCATE Training Institute, the president, Lauren Ellen Christian, speaking tonight. As usual, you're going to hear from Officer Drake, and she's going to talk about the RFPD services that we offer to residents and businesses, and also the Halloween safety tips, holiday safety tips, which also include tips on not being a fraud or a scam victim. And you'll hear also tonight from our Detective Sergeant Justin Labriola, who will talk about crime trends and statistics. And at the end, as usual, we don't leave until your questions have all been answered. And if we don't have an answer for you, we get your information and we get back to you tomorrow to respond to some of the questions where we might not have some of the data points available. So I just would like to make a brief comment on some of the current events. In light of the attacks against Israel and rising violence in the Middle East, the River Forest Police Department recognizes the concern that this brings our local community. We continue to stand by our law enforcement partners and trusted community leaders to ensure the safety of all within the village of River Forest. This means you will see or have seen increased patrols near local places of worship and our village as a form of proactive policing. There is currently no specific threat to the public or any organizations within the village of River Forest. We are genuinely concerned for people's personal safety. Threats sometimes can transform into violence, and we've seen that around the world. We join unequivocally in condemning hate crimes and hate speech, whether it occurs in the workplace, all educational institutions, on social media, or within the community at large. It's up to all of us as a community to assist those left grieving in the wake of all of these tragedies occurring throughout the world and to stand against all hate. And moving into our agenda items, I first would like to call Rodolfo Tejeda up to the podium for his presentation regarding CEDA.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me well? Perfect. We ran a little bit into some challenges with technology, but we were able to sort that out. So thank you very much, Luke, for your help. So my name is Rodolfo Tejeda, and I'm an outreach coordinator for CEDA. CEDA is the Community and Economic Development Association of Cook County. And we are a community action agency that has been very active in Cook County for the past 60 plus years. And we offer a number of services for income-eligible families, but my specialty in a way is energy services. So we essentially offer assistance for families with different utilities, including water, electricity, and gas. And those are, they can get pretty high. So we're going to have a small presentation, and then I'll open the floor if you guys have any question. I hope to have an answer. If I don't, I'll figure it out, the answer, and send it to you. Okay? So what we're going to cover today, we'll talk a little bit about our vision. What is a utility bill assistance? The different services that we offer, gas, electric bill, assistance, furnace repair and replacement, water bill assistance, how to apply, common reasons for denied applications, frequently asked questions, and some important links. CETA is one of the largest private non-for-profit community action agencies in the country, serving residents throughout Cook County, Illinois. Our mission is empowering individuals, families, and communities facing poverty to secure a better quality of life. CETA's largest program is the Utility Bill Assistance Program. Our programs are income eligible, and that what that means is essentially that a household, depending on the number of people in the household, have to make under a certain amount of money. For the year 2023, which is where we are right now, the income guideline is as reflected on the screen right there. For a household of one person would be $2,430, and it increases as the number of people increases in the house. So in the household, all of this is, it changes every year. So it's always good to refer people to check with the state website or to ask questions about it, because these are not the same income guidelines that were basically the last year or the year before. It changes. So our two big programs, or some of the big programs that we're going to talk about. One is the direct vendor program, which is the DVP. The other one is the reconnection assistance program. So the direct vendor program is a one-time payment towards gas and electric bill. It's a once-a-year grant for customers who currently have service. And the reconnection assistance program, if your household is disconnected or has a disconnection notice, is in danger of being disconnected, we also offer reconnection assistance for those households. The direct vendor program is the language is a little bit strange for some people, but essentially, once you go through the eligibility process and is determined how much money you will receive, you don't actually receive, let's say, $700. The utility receive a check for $700. So that's why it's called direct vendor payment. Another of the programs that we offer is called the People Share the Warmth. It provides up to $200 per program year per year towards the past due balance on the people's gas home heating bills. There's a distinction that needs to be made when we're talking about gas. Generally speaking, there's two classifications, heating or cooking gas. We work with heating gas. We don't work with cooking gas. So any person that might have a gas bill that is intended to provide heating for the house, we can help them with that. All right? So the applicant must have a minimum of $25 of past due balance. That's another requirement for this program. The furnace. This is actually a very popular, one of the popular programs that we offer, because we all know how furnace can get very expensive one if they break, and they always do in the middle of the winter because that one we're using them the most. So in order to apply to be eligible for furnace, households must be LIHEAP eligible, meaning the same programs that we were talking about before, the direct vendor program, the reconnection assistance, all of that falls under the LIHEAP category. It's like the LIHEAP umbrella. Furnace is one of those programs. So it basically provides furnace repair or replacement. There are cases where a household needs to need there's very little that you can do with a furnace. You just have to replace it. And then that's one of the things that we also assist families with. Now, if you're a Chicago resident, I don't think that this is specifically for River Forest, but if you're a Chicago resident, you can apply for the Utility Billing Relief Program, which is a program intended to help with the water bill. Up to a few months ago, we had the LIWAP program, and that was throughout Cook County. Now, the funding for that program ran out, so we are just left with the Utility Billing Relief Program. It's been very successful as well. LIWAP was also very successful. We were hoping to have it back. We're still hoping, but it's up to the federal government. It's not up to us. For this program year, started in October 2nd, and we have priority periods. And this was something that was done in the past. It was a common practice in the past. And then after the pandemic, it was decided that anybody from the get-go could apply for the program, and that it was very, very chaotic, but was also very successful. But we're bringing this practice back, which is implementing priority periods. For instance, starting October 2nd, from the beginning of October 2nd, all households receiving with seniors 60 years and older, or with the person receiving disabilities or family with children under 6, could apply right away for LIHEAP benefits. Starting November 1st is the beginning of our other priority period, which is households disconnected from one or two utilities or in danger of being disconnected can apply for LIHEAP benefits. Also, people who qualify for the first priority period can apply. And then December 1st is open enrollment. Anybody who's income eligible can apply for service for LIHEAP all the way up to August 15th of 2024. These are some examples of the documents that are needed to apply. So proof of current 30-day gross income for all household members, 18 and older. This includes income for children who receive child support with Social Security benefit. The copy of the most recent heating and electric bills, proof of Social Security numbers or ITINs for all household members. Also, individuals without a Social Security number or an ITIN number can also apply. We developed a system to cater to those individuals as well. It's also if you do not have an income, if you have zero income, you're eligible to apply. It's a common misconception for people to believe that they must have some sort of income to be able to apply. That's if you do not have an income, you definitely should apply. If you do not have a past due balance in your bill, two things. First, congratulations, but you should also apply. Why? Because when you do not have a past due balance in your bill and you apply for the services, you're still going to get the benefit. The difference is that this benefit is going to be a credit in your account, and you could be potentially for months without paying for your utility. So you should definitely apply. These are some of our resources. This is our website, www.c.org.net/sites. We have different offices throughout Cook County that we call partner sites. And those are offices we have over 100 offices that we work with. Some of them are actually relatively close here. So, but if you want to know where are those offices, you can go to the website, www.c.org.net/site. You can also, for more information, you go to the same website/bills and our phone number, 1-800-571-2332. Some of the most common reasons for denial are lack of documents. The universal signature page is a document that is used in the past. A client would have to sign multiple documents. We created a document called the universal signature page, and that document, with the client signing that single document, it covers the entire application. So it became a lot more efficient. And the other reason is clients submitting the wrong documents. Even though, if you think that you might not qualify for whatever reason, because you think your income is a little bit over, you still should make the attempt to apply, because there are sometimes, if you're receiving, let's say, wages, and all of a sudden you had less 30 days, you worked overtime, but that's not the common, that's not the pattern in the way you receive your wages. So there might be ways that we can work that out. And at the end of the day, this benefits are there for you. So you should definitely take advantage of those. What should I do if I was denied? Submit documents via email, fax. What's the status of the application? There's a website right there where you can check the status of the application. And this last question, where is my application ID? At the time of the intake, when you complete your intake, an application ID is generated. And you should be informed of that application ID, because that is basically what you are going to use to determine, to find out the status and if there's anything else that needs to be done in regards to your application. These are very important links if you want to take notes of those. And I think that's the end of my presentation. If you have any questions, this is the time. I consider myself to be a relatively good speaker, but I'm not that good. Somebody must have a question. Just a joke. Yes. I actually brought some physical flyers with me, and some of the flyers have all the offices that we work with in the back. So I'm going to leave you some of those flyers too, and I'm going to send you the PDF version of those flyers. Yeah, absolutely. And then, by the way, if there's any other way that you, as a department, you think that if you're doing a community event, if you're doing something engaging with the community, and you want us to be there, just let us know. We'll bring our giveaways and our flyers, and we'll talk to people. If you have answers, we'll give them the answers for sure. Any questions? Cool. I think that is the end of my presentation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Oh. Right. Thank you, Rodolfo. We are going to welcome our next guest speaker, Laura Ellen Christian, the president of Educate Training Institute. We actually recently reached out to her, our command staff did, to ask her if she could help us schedule some dementia live training for our officers. So here she is.
Hi, can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you, Officer Drake, and good to see you all. I can't actually see you, so I don't know who's in the room, but hello, I'm Laura Ellen Christian with Educate Training Institute. I'm delighted to be here with you tonight and to share, just like Officer Drake said, what the police department there in River Forest experienced through a program partner of Educate in participating in the Dementia Live program. So Dementia Live is a simulation of what it feels like to live with dementia. And Educate offers this program in a train-the-trainer capacity. So we work with over 800 different organizations and providers in the United States. We're also in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. And we really empower people at local level, just like you all, just like people that are in your area, to be able to bring this education grassroots to spread awareness and create educational opportunities to learn about dementia. I'll share my screen. I have a few slides to show you a little bit more about this. So hopefully this will come through for you all. Oops, that's the wrong presentation. Just a second. All right. Okay, let's see. So can everybody see that?
Yes.
I can see you now. Great. Okay, fantastic. So just a little bit of data. We did a webinar last week, and Mary Eck, who is the National Director of Dementia Friendly America, gave some information about dementia. Sorry, I'm having all these pop-ups on my screen. Sorry, about dementia. So I just wanted to play that with you. You can see the bullet points here on the side as well of why are we talking about dementia? Why is it important for police officers and other first responders, you and your local community? I'm not sure how you serve in your local community, if you're there in person or you're on the Zoom with us, but anybody can benefit from dementia education, and this is why.
There are currently over 6 million Americans living with Alzheimer's disease. And again, while Alzheimer's disease is the most common form of dementia, this number doesn't even include the many people impacted by other forms of dementia. It's been shown that statistically speaking, 1 in 10 people, that's 10% of people over the age of 65 have Alzheimer's, and 1 in 5 live alone. 80% of people with dementia live at home or with family as compared to the long-term care sector. And there are over 16 million caregivers of people with dementia, and over 11 million of these caregivers are unpaid family or friend caregivers.
So that data right there tells you how important it is, especially for first responders, police officers who are out in the community, interacting with people day in and day out, night in and night out, to know about the signs of dementia, know how to recognize that, how to respond to people. And it's really staggering when you think about one in five people living with dementia live alone, and that 80% of people living with dementia live at home or with a family member. So, of course, there are senior living communities. There are other community living opportunities for people living with dementia to get good care. But we are seeing, especially from COVID, a rise of people wanting to age in place, wanting to stay in their home. And we want them to do that because that is where our quality of life tends to be the highest. If we can have a community that is dementia friendly, that allows us and people living with dementia to be out and about and enjoy their community in ways that everyone else does. So Dementia Live, I'll give you a preview of what that is.
There are currently.
Okay. So it is a simulation. So Educate created the Dementia Live program, a simulation of what it feels like to live with dementia. So when officers or anybody in the community, local public, go through the simulation, you wear glasses, gloves, and headphones. And all of those are specially designed to simulate through research what someone living with dementia is feeling. And it's really the combination of all of those sensory components that puts you into the shoes of someone living with dementia. So I'll play a quick clip. This isn't the River Forest police officers. This is just a clip that we have of Educate, but it'll give you a sense of what police officers did experience when they were able to engage. Now, stop it there. So if you can hear that, and you can certainly see what's happening on the screen, the noises that you're hearing and the people that are participating are hearing, they're hearing that through their headphones. So that's not happening in the room. It's happening with them individually. And that is really simulating the difficulty a person living with dementia has of processing the world around them. So it's not meant to say that people living with dementia have additional psychosis. They may have multiple diagnoses, but that's not part of dementia. They're not hearing things. It's just the simulation of the environment becomes really overwhelming. So if you are pulling up to the scene of an accident or something else with your sirens on and your lights and you've got your walkie that's, you know, talking and you're talking into it, all of those things are going to be really overwhelming to a person living with dementia. And it might cause them to have stress reactions that might exhibit other things like intoxication, having a psychosis diagnosis, schizophrenia, things like that. So often in those high sensory environments that you're often in as a police officer, or we may be in this as community people in the local community of crisis situations, sometimes we can mistake other things for someone living with dementia. So this simulation, the education that comes with it, so it's not just about the simulation, it's about going through that and then having conversation. So the benefits that come with Dementia Live is really the conversation you're able to have after someone goes through that experience. So Educate provides for our program partners that bring this to local communities like yours with empowerment tools, other educational resources to really be able to have a conversation, help people process that experience and apply it to their life, whether they're a professional, whether they are a family caregiver or just someone in their community that wants to know more and do better to support people who are aging in their local community. So obviously this experience is helping us recognize the signs of dementia. We're feeling it ourselves. It's also great to, you can watch other people going through it, just like we watched on the video. It really gives you a sense for some of the stress reactions and things that people living with dementia might do that don't make sense to you. But once you go through the experience, you understand maybe why they react that way. It gives us all greater empathy and understanding for the person living with dementia and their care partners. And then obviously it's helping us build skill through these real-life simulations. This is a resource. I'm happy to email it to Officer Drake and she can share it with other people. The Arbor Company is a senior living provider who I actually used to work for before I joined Educate. And they are really advocates of community education. And the Arbor Company does a lot of training for first responders. And they created, or I really created this when I was with them, a really great first responder tip guide. And they offer it for free on their website that you can download. But as you can see, when someone goes through the experience, then you have these nice references to help you understand how do you change your approach? How can you understand what might be happening for a person living with dementia? And then, you know, how can your approach help them? So if you can see these are just feedback surveys that we've gotten when we've done Dementia Live and the education conversation portion for first responders. You'll see that people say they really love the explanation after the scenario. It answered how they were feeling. They're really hoping that they can make more eye contact and direction through the bro shake, which is just an approach that we teach through Dementia Live. This one says that they really want to be more empathetic to people living with dementia, and the training gave them a lot of great perspective. And then the last one here, the sensory deprivation was really eye-opening, and what this person wanted to do is really have slower conversation pace when they recognize that someone might be living with dementia. Oops, didn't mean to do that. Hold on. There we go. Sorry, you have technical difficulties. I do as well. So it happens to everyone. The last slide I wanted to share there is just the contact information. So reach out if you want to know more about Dementia Live, about how you can continue to offer it in your local community there at River Forest, or maybe you have a loved one living with dementia in another city or state. We are literally everywhere through our program partner network, and I can certainly connect with someone if you'd like to go through the Dementia Live experience. So you can visit educate.com. That's my email address there. We're happy to help you to support the effort of elevating quality of life. All right. So happy to take any questions. And hopefully, Officer Drake, that was what you wanted me to share. Happy to share anything else if I missed
it. No, absolutely. Thank you. We really appreciate you presenting, and thank you for being patient with us. Does anyone here in the crowd have any questions for her? No? Anything on your end? Not currently, but thank you.
Yeah, y'all have a lovely night. I'm going to pop off now.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, so I am going to talk a little bit about some of the services that the River Forest Police Department has to offer. Some you may already know about, and some might be new. So residents are now able to request vacation watches through our online system, which is Frontline. It's the same website that we use for overnight parking. Let me see. Do you have... Give us 1 second for the PowerPoint. Yeah, I got it. All right. Thank you for being patient. Okay, so here we are. So it's the same portal that we use for our overnight parking. You would select vacation watch, which you can see is circled on the right. You want to make sure that you submit that request at least 1 week prior, but you can input a lot of specific information, whether it's the dates, emergency contacts, vehicles that we should expect to maybe be parked outside your home. Are you able to, there's a QR code there that everyone can use. Otherwise, Luke, do you mind clicking on the link so we can show them? Okay. If you want to try, if not, it's fine. But you can access that through either that website or the QR code. And it's pretty self-explanatory. Once you hit that vacation watch, there's a whole field of information that you can put in. The more information you put in, the better. And that automatically our officers can see that, so that way we can conduct those extra watches on your home while you're away. We also provide residential security surveys. So please contact me to set one of those up. We're happy to have an officer to come out, take a look at your residence, inspect different areas and access points of your residence to help you determine where additional security measures could be used or added. All right. Let's see. We also have steering wheel locks. So if you own a Kia or Hyundai 2010 to 2021, we have these available. They're just to help deter motor vehicle theft. Contact me again. My information is, I don't see it up there, but I will make sure that you see it at some point. But you can contact me to set that up. You would come pick it up here at the Village of River Forest. And we would get you set up with that. So that's another service we're offering. All right. So this fall, we started a new campaign, Bike Helmets for Bonbons. We have been passing out coupons, offering a free truffle at River Forest chocolates to kids that are practicing safe bicycle safety, wearing their helmets and just demonstrating those safe practices. So the Village of River Forest has teamed up with River Forest Chocolates and Forest Security to provide bicycle helmets for anyone that needs one that lives, works, or goes to school in River Forest, to try and encourage those people that are out there riding their bikes, those kids, to wear the helmets and be as safe as they possibly can. So that's another thing that you can contact me for, either at my email is mdrake@vrf.us, or that's 708-714-3543. So those are some of the services we offer. offer, we are going to move along to some Halloween safety tips. It is less than a week away, and we just wanted to provide you with some safe tips and a quick reminder that trick-or-treating will take place in the village on Tuesday, October 31st from 3 to 7 p.m. When it comes to costumes, you want to make sure that your kids are wearing light and bright colors. It's the best way to increase your child's visibility. And you want to make sure that they don't restrict their vision. So makeup or face paint is always probably a better option than masks, which I know is hard. A lot of kids want to wear the mask. Just make sure if they are that their eye holes are big enough that they can see and that that's not obstructed. It's also a good idea if you put your child's name and your phone number somewhere inside their costume, just in the event they were to get lost or there's some sort of emergency, your contact information is in there. While trick-or-treating, children should always travel in a group or with an adult. If you have an older child that is going without an adult, maybe just going with friends, think about planning your child's route ahead of time and make sure they know to only visit homes that are well lit. It's always a good idea to carry a flashlight or glow stick just so they can see better, as well as to increase their visibility to drivers. While you're talking to them about that, talk to them about just safety and where they're walking. They want to walk as close to the curb as possible, if not on the sidewalk. Make sure they're crossing the streets at crosswalks, corners, and then remind them that people could still be pulling in and out of their driveways, and sometimes they might not be paying as much attention, especially when it gets dark out. And then lastly, just remind your child to never enter a stranger's home or car. When they get home, you want to inspect the treats for holes and loose wrappers, and then homemade treats should never be eaten unless you are absolutely sure they came from a safe place. All right, so then holiday shopping safety, because this is going to come up much quicker than we're all ready for. Identity theft and robberies are two of the most common crimes during holiday season. So when feasible, try to shop during the daytime and avoid shopping alone after dark. While you're shopping, keep your purse and bags closed at all times. Don't leave them unattended in your shopping cart. I know I've done it before. I've seen my mom do it before. You can turn away for a second and something could be taken out of there. So avoid wearing expensive jewelry or carrying expensive handbags while you are shopping. If you need to use an ATM, try to choose one located inside of a bank, et cetera, and make sure it's in a well-lit area. You want to protect your PIN from anyone standing around you. Then hold on to your ATM receipt. Don't just leave it around the ATM area. Only withdraw the amount of cash needed. You don't want to carry large amounts of cash on you in general, and especially during that time. In stores, explain to your children that they should not be in the car or in the restroom alone. Don't leave them unattended in the car or in the stores, and ensure that they know their full name and your phone number. Regarding parking lots, park in a well-lit area. Remember where you parked. You don't want to spend that extra time with all those valuables you just purchased searching the lot for your car. Lock your doors and don't leave those in your car, including the purchases, if you go into another store. Just be aware of your surroundings, be alert, and stay off your cell phone while walking in parking lots. While online, you want to shop from a secure network location and avoid using public Wi-Fi. Use strong passwords, even though sometimes the online retailers don't require a strong one. They might let you get away with a weak one. That just allows your information to be more susceptible to fraudulent activity. Make sure you're using safe and familiar websites. They're indicated by a lock symbol. I don't know why the bottom's cut off, but it's a website. So they have the little lock symbol on the side, and then it just says HTTPS. Those are two indicators that it's a safe website. Save your receipts, review your bank and credit card statements just to see if there's any discrepancies, and then consider using in-store pickup or ship-to-store options. If you're not going to be home during delivery times, that's one way to minimize the ability for package thieves to intercept the packages that you've ordered home. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about just some fraud and scams that are common. They can affect everyone. First, with phishing on the internet, emails can be made to look real, like they came from your bank account, eBay, PayPal, Amazon, anything. Someone could send you an email and pretend to be from your bank. They say your account's compromised, suspended, or it needs updated information. and they ask you for your bank information or account numbers. Your bank should already have that information and would never ask you for that online. So just be cognizant of that. That's just an example. There's many different types of ways they can try and do this. Other internet safety tips would be, do not open messages, click links, or open pop-ups from unknown senders. Pay attention to the spelling of the actual email address and what's in it, and then also the spelling of the email. Oftentimes you'll see that mistakes are made in there. And if you're ever unsure, you can look up the organization's numbers and call them to verify that it's an accurate message. All right, so phone scams, a big one that we're seeing in surrounding towns is the grandparent scam. So if this doesn't apply to you, tell your loved ones, tell your friends. But when someone will call and they'll either impersonate the grandchild or a law enforcement officer that has detained the individual's grandchild. They'll claim that they're in trouble and need money immediately to help with an emergency. This could be they're saying they need to get out of jail. They're in the hospital and they need to pay a bill, or they're trying to leave a foreign country. These scammers will play on your emotions. So resist the urge to act immediately. Verify their identity by asking specific questions that only they would know, and check the story with someone else in your family, even if they tell you to keep it a secret. Other impersonation scams, you could receive a call from the IRS, Social Security Administration, a law enforcement agency, or utility companies demanding personal information or immediate payment. They may threaten to shut off your services, threaten lawsuits, or even say, I know there's one where they're saying someone has a warrant for their arrest and you have to pay a fine. That's not how that works. So they could also threaten other repercussions if you don't pay. And they may request the payment in various forms, including cash, wire transfer, prepaid debit cards, and gift cards. Just remember to never give out personal information over the phone. This type of information and any of the documents it's on should always be kept secure. Never wire money. It's just like sending cash. The minute you send it, it's gone. And then scammers, just keep in mind, they can use technology spoofing to make their caller ID number appear legitimate. I don't know how they do it. That's too much technology for me, clearly. But they can do it. So just make sure that don't give them your personal information. Hang up, call the number on your account statement or a number that you can find in your records that's for that company, just to verify the authenticity of the call. Lastly, sweepstakes scams. You can get a call. It could be what you believe to be a well-known organization, and they're telling you you won a prize or you won some lottery, or maybe they'll tell you that you signed up for it and you may not have, but they will ask you to pay either processing fees, shipping fees, taxes before you're able to collect what you've won. Again, they can request, you know, that payment in any form. And they'll try to impose a deadline just to create that sense of urgency and fear. So don't just trust a name or number. They'll use official sounding names to gain your trust. And then this is just a reminder, no legitimate company will ask you to pay with a prepaid debit card or gift card. Let's see what else. And now a word from Detective Sergeant Labriola on crime trends and statistics. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that also paying attention to the label of the package is very important. The amount of information very often is put them in the trash, the desk, and the veins of red. Very often it has your name, last name, your address, and even your phone number. All very vital pieces of information someone is trying to steal. And the other one is medicine card, like prescription medication. If possible, there's a way to do that so people don't do it. If you're not going to do it, you just make sure the label is. I get medication from CVS, and it's astonishing the amount of people don't claim it. Absolutely incredible. Your phone number, your address, your doctor, and everything. And so,
absolutely. I don't know if everyone was able to hear Rodolfo, but he was just explaining, pay attention to the labels that you throw out in the garbage, whether it's on prescription bottles or any sort of mail. It has a lot of personal information on there. And just to add, we do have a prescription drop-off in the basement here of the police department. So if you do have any unwanted prescriptions expired or anything like that, and you don't know how to safely dispose of them, you can bring them here. But other than that, it's Detective Sergeant Labriola.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming. Thank you for the everyone who's in the crowd. Officer Drake and I think Rodolfo probably took most of my thunder. There's not going to be too much more I need to cover. Megan did go over a bulk of the crime trends, especially for us approaching the holiday season. We recently actually just arrested someone for package theft, and it's already before the Thanksgiving season. She did discuss a little bit about wallets are thefts within some of our grocery stores. We're not a very large retail community, but we do have two large grocery stores, that being Whole Foods and Jewel Osco. It will get extremely busy around Thanksgiving. So that is the time that we know that those folks who like to do their pickpockets, they'll be out and about, that's for sure. The nice thing is that we do follow some of the trends, not necessarily here, but in other communities. We're aware of some of the people who are involved who operate in multiple person crews. With that being said, we do use our own technology, our license plate readers. We put some of those license plates that we know are typical offending vehicles in our license plate readers. So we're made aware that that vehicle is coming into our town. So that helps us to not only to potentially deter crime, but to apprehend those individuals as well. I will say with packages, Rodolfo is exactly correct on that. Those packages are extremely important. And when you do make your online purchases, make sure you have some sort of tracking information. So if you use Amazon Prime, make sure you're following that so you know when it gets delivered. If you're using UPS or FedEx or USPS, same thing. Get your tracking number, make sure that you know when it's delivered. If you do happen to see somebody who is following either a postal service worker, UPS driver, FedEx driver, Prime driver, maybe give us a call. A lot of times they wait until that person gets too far away from their truck and they'll either, grab the packages off the doorstep, go through the truck, things like that. We fortunately have not had too much of a problem with that. Package thefts, yes, no one going in trucks. Other communities have actually had their United States Postal Service workers robbed at gunpoint in some communities. They want the skeleton keys typically from these workers. Again, that's something we have not had, but the holiday season, people become a little bit more brazen. So I think those are a couple of things I wanted to go ahead and touch on primarily for right now. The fall is also an interesting time. When we do talk about burglaries, we do have people who go out of town. Okay, Thanksgiving is one of the most frequently traveled times. Okay, I think for everybody to visit their families. Same thing with the winter holidays. So if you are leaving, we already discussed some of the vacation watches that we have available. I'd say take advantage of that. This isn't so common anymore, but we used to have folks that would either come to your door and ask to rake your leaves or shovel your snow. Sometimes they're legitimate. They're just folks who want to make a couple extra dollars, but also times we've had, people use that as a ruse because they want to see if you're home or not. So again, if you do have somebody who knocks on your door, feel free to give us a call. Okay, worst case scenario is we go there to check them out, and they said, okay, I just shoveled the last four driveways, and they're just actually out to make a few extra dollars. So again, if you see something, say something. That's the biggest thing, is that we are a small community here. We want to make sure that everyone helps us out, the police department, and we reciprocate. Obviously, we're here to help you folks. So contact us. That is our job. We will respond. And I think that's pretty much about it for right now. So if anybody has any questions, I'll be around to answer those after this is done. Oh, Chief, do you have a question?
Yes. Could you maybe just give an update on the carjacking, the auto theft activity that occurred in the village in the past few months here? Regarding statistics or investigations?
Yeah, absolutely. For those of you who did not hear, the chief was wondering about, he was inquiring about some recent trends in hijackings and stolen cars. We fortunately have not really had any, especially hijackings. We haven't had those. The thefts for the Kias have actually plummeted. I can't say if that is due to the fact that now it's become such a phenomenon, and I think people are protecting themselves. I think Kia may have decided that it was in their best interest to probably fix some of their ignitions. What Officer Drake said, We were able to go ahead and secure a good amount of basically the club devices, something that you would put on the steering wheel, also another deterrent. But we've been very fortunate for the lack of auto thefts, especially the hijackings. But the chief does bring up a good point. A lot of times, if you do not have a remote start, don't leave your car running. Okay, even if it's a push start and you have the keys, someone could just get in your car and still drive away just without the keys. And they keep driving until they're out of gas. So that's happened before. People didn't realize that you could just get inside of an unlocked car that's running and just drive away. So keep that in mind. It's cold out. I understand it. You want a warm car. You just may run in for a second into a store. Try not to leave your car unattended while it's running. I think that's it. Chief, do you have any other questions?
Not at this time.
Okay, thanks.
You know, I just want to take a moment to thank our two guest speakers. Very informative and great programs. And now you have their information to be able to reach out to them. This is our fourth quarter meeting, so it's the last meeting of 2023. We'll have our first quarter meeting in January, and we'll send out invites and notices for that meeting also. This is the time in the evening for if there's any questions from the audience or any concerns, please feel free to raise them at this time. Our IT administrator, Luke, will be monitoring any questions coming in on Zoom. And if there's any questions coming from the audience, please feel free to ask away. And I'll mention at this time, probably one of the most important things here is that we are a small community. We should be able to take care of ourselves, look out for our neighbors, look out for our kids, our seniors, and those that come into the community to work, to shop. Those of you that are up early in the morning, you'll notice a lot of people come into this community to bike, to walk, to run, bring their dogs into town to walk because they feel safe here. And to admire the real estate and historical homes within the community. And the beautiful parks, to utilize the parks. As you know, the Park District has so many wonderful programs. And it's very rare that you see the park or even all the parks not being utilized. What's also important is if you see something, if you hear something, please say something. That's something that the detective unit really lives by, and we do also as a department. If we don't have any other questions at this time, we will close out the meeting. I've gotten the word that no questions have come in Zoom, but please remember that if there's a question, we may have one coming in. Yes, ma'am. A concern is fine too. We see that the officers are engaged throughout all three shifts, 24 hours a day, with very various traffic mission assignments specific to complaints that come in from residents, and also to reduce accidents in areas where we've seen an uptick in accidents. Just to talk a little bit about some of the additional strategies, I'm going to invite up Deputy Chief Jim Greenwood, who can explain some of the ways that we conduct not only traffic enforcement, but education. Deputy Chief Greenwood.
Good evening, everybody. So in regards to the traffic enforcement, the chief covered most of what we do, but we do have a very structured but flexible traffic enforcement program. We receive concerns from citizens like yourselves about different different issues. It could be the driving on North Avenue, as you mentioned, or it could be school safety zones, you know, like the school zones for kids. We monitor those. But what we do is we have a system in place where we're able to not only take that information from people like yourself, but we're also able to get that out to our officers in the street in real time over a very similar system to the one that Officer Drake spoke about, where we're able to push the information out to officers that we received concerns, complaints about this area. These are the targeted enforcement areas of, you know, that we're going to focus on so that we can make sure the officers are going to those spots, not just, you know, we hear it and then we ask them to go there. But we not only do that, but we track it, make sure that the officers are there, and they, and the officers ultimately, anybody that signed up to be a police officer, chose to be a police officer, received a calling to be a police officer, understands that the importance of the safety for the community. And that starts at the very simple thing of making sure people are able to cross the street, making sure people are able to drive safely, and all the way up to all the other things that Detective Sergeant Labriola covered today and Officer Drake covered, and of course the chief. So that's the main, one of the main big programs that we have. And again, one thing that's nice about it, we structure it so that we make sure that we're being tracking the information, but then also it's flexible enough that a simple phone call or, you know, a comment at a meeting like this tonight, I can assure you already right now, I know the midnight shift is focused on North Avenue at this time. But we'll also get the word out to our early morning officers, make sure that they're able to flex some of their traffic muscle up on North Avenue to take a look, because we're all aware of the different spots and the different times of day, especially our bigger roads like North Avenue, Harlem Avenue, you know, anywhere between 4:30 in the morning, 4 in the morning, up till about 7:30 when it starts to get a little busier out there, that, you know, folks like to test their cars out to see if they can get them off the ground. And we don't want them to do that. We want everybody to be safe, including the people that might be a little heavy footed. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And we're going westbound to go southbound and bottom at the end. Now, I don't know. But it's bad for us because we can't turn down roads. But if we come off of LaVoyne, we're going to get wet. And first, then either risking getting the same.
Right.
It's
that
stuff. It's like the sign
that that's it. Right. So, yeah, so just for the people out in the internet or on the recording, the ladies in the audience were bringing up their traffic concerns about the area of not only North Avenue that we had already addressed, but also the area of North Avenue and Franklin, where you're not, there's no turning to go west off of Franklin onto North Avenue, no turning to go south on Franklin from North Avenue. There's a no turn signs in those two directions, and they were sharing some of their observations from the area, and we can assure you that that will be addressed. We're very familiar with the traffic flows in situations that are up on North Avenue. A lot of information that we've received in the recent year or so is about cut through traffic, where a lot of folks are using Waze, Google Maps, take your pick, pick an app. We don't sponsor or solicit for any of them, but a lot of times people see that there's a street right there. So I'll get off of North Avenue, traffic's backing up, and I'll take Lemoyne, Greenfield, and again to the ladies in the crowd's concern here this evening is Franklin Avenue, just two blocks away, is one of our elementary schools, and if people are continuing to drive, at a rapid pace or over the speed limit as they approach only a block and a half, two blocks away, they're at a school zone where the traffic actually only flows the opposite direction, and so we appreciate your input, and we'll ensure that we get people up there to make sure if it's still going on, and I'm sure it is, that we can address it. And just another caveat to that is the village board commissioned a group to do a traffic safety analysis for the whole village. So that's in the process. It's actually going to be reviewed by our traffic safety commission, I believe, in the next month. And then some of the recommendations will come out of that for the village board to take into consideration for traffic calming measures, which could be, speed tables, speed bumps. It could be additional signage. And again, those are things that we're all looking forward to as a police department and as a village, especially in the interest of making the community a safer place. Are there any other questions from anybody? Anything out there in the internet? Well, thank you very much. And I'll turn this back over to Chief O'Shea. And thank you, Chief, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Deputy Chief. One of the things that I just want to remind everyone, we operate 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So if you have a question, a concern, or you want to report an event, there's someone always to talk to. You start usually with the dispatch center. If you're not sure whether to call the non-emergency number or the emergency number, we would rather have you just dial 911. Also, if you're not sure who to talk to, or you're not sure, does the officer out there have an answer for you? You could always ask to speak to a supervisor. There's at least one, if not two, supervisors working each shift. And of course, during what we would say banking hours, of course, there's various members of the command staff and other units that are operating also. So please don't wait. You don't have to wait till the quarterly meeting. You don't have to wait any more than a few minutes. Pick up the phone, give a call. And once again, if you're not sure who to ask for, just ask that you'd like to speak with a supervisor, and one will be sent out to talk with you. And if we don't have any other questions, once again, I'll check online. No questions coming. And please enjoy a safe and hopefully healthy holiday season. And we look forward to seeing you in 2024 for our first quarterly meeting. Have a good evening.